3 PM. And we'll start with roll call.
Sharon Ward.
Greg Jones.
Kathy Egan.
Conrad Parker.
Rick Allen.
Scott Perkins.
And Stu Martinez and the staff.
Ashley Williams.
Patty Morgan.
And let it show we have a quorum. And we'll stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. And Mr. Greiner, would you lead us, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, item four is added agenda items.
Not really.
Okay. Item five is a consent agenda. I think everyone's got a copy of the consent agenda.
The Lafayette High School was $100 for coming in and working. Actually, that's what they did. So it says funding request was kind of paying for slave labor.
Yeah.
They helped us get all the boxes upstairs. Stu kind of set that up for us. The teacher came down, and four kids came down, and they got for months, the upstairs has been a disaster, so we went and got the boxes moved and sorted.
And that was all, I believe, to help fund their trip to the state.
FBLA competition.
FBLA competition, yeah. Okay, any other questions, or do I have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further comments? And I need to state a conflict of interest with the bill to wilderness garbage. So with that, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. Okay. Item six, public comment. Okay. Item seven, presentation from Oregon Department of Transportation regarding the First Street project.
Hi, my name is Mike Darling. I'm the project leader for the project US 97 at First Street. I've got some handouts I'd like to pass out. I'm going to pass those out.
Can you close that view? It's kind of noisy. It's kind of noisy.
I'll wait a minute here and let you have something in your hands to look at. But I just want to... we want an opportunity to come before City Council here and just give you guys an update of where we're at in the project and the fact that this is a real project. We're moving forward and give you some dates of when you're going to start seeing some things happening and just talk a little bit about the big picture, and then I'm open for questions on details. So again, this project is called US 97 at First Street, Lapine. And the project has two big components. One is to improve the pedestrian safety, and then to signalize the intersection to make it safer again for pedestrians to cross, and also for turning movements for vehicles. Vehicles coming out of Reed, vehicles moving into Reed, you know, all that. It's just it's a busy intersection, and signalizing the intersection will help manage that right of way, who has the right of way. The project is fully funded. Thanks to partisan support of House Bill 3130, it passed, and the county is going to be able to contribute $200,000 towards the project, and that's going to allow us to free up some monies, and so basically we have a fully funded project which includes a signal at that intersection. The project was originally scheduled to what we call bid let, or actually it was let and awarded to a contractor. And they call it bid let. It was originally supposed to be let in November of 2014. What that would mean would do the, you know, elevation here in the winters, we really wouldn't get started till spring, summer of 2015. I think everyone in ODOT and the city recognizes the critical nature of this intersection, and of, you know, the more that we do, the sooner the better. And so what we've done is we've moved the schedule forward and been a little more aggressive. It's kind of tight because we have right-of-way to acquire and that kind of thing, and there's certain timeframes that we have to give property owners by statute. We can't shorten those. But we've basically advanced the schedule to where the project is going to let in May of 2014. And what that means is construction will start that summer and go into that fall. It won't be done by time school starts of fall of 2014, but it'll be a construction site. At that point, there'll be construction, there'll be big, you know, cones, it'll be stuff going on, so that'll help slow down drivers. So again, that's the big picture. Is it is a project, it's fully funded, we're meeting on a regular basis, we're developing it, we're working on the plans at this point. We've basically just passed a major milestone, which is called design acceptance, which establishes the footprint and allows us to decide, you know, how much right-of-way are we going to need to build this project. And shortly, the next few months, property owners will be contacted by a person from right-of-way and start that negotiation process about for construction easements or permanent fee, that sort of thing. So again, the project is real. We've moving ahead, starting that. We designed the footprint, starting the right-of-way acquisition, and then the project will go to construction essentially in May of 2014. The map that you show, it's I presented this to the Public Works Subcommittee a few weeks ago, and a few things that we need updated since we've gone through this major milestone. A couple things this doesn't show is it doesn't show crosswalks on the north side of the intersection. That's one of the things that the state traffic engineer said we needed to include. So there will be essentially crosswalks at all portions of that intersection. Another thing is it doesn't show is a flush colored median, a colored median flush mounted. And if you remember the corridor plan that Kittleson worked so hard with you guys on, one of the things they showed was that colored median. Again, it's not raised, it's not going to encumber freight movement, but it's going to give that impression of a narrowing roadway, which again helps slow traffic down some. So that doesn't show, and that'll be updated. Another thing this doesn't show is luminaries. We're going to be installing streetlights, luminaries, on southbound 97 as you approach the intersection from the north. And I forgot it was exactly how many, there's three or four. And one of the reasons we're going to do that is it lightens up as you start to enter the corridor. It's going to lighten things up and again tell drivers at night, oh, I'm entering an urban area, I need to slow down. So, you know, it's real important that people can be going from 55 miles an hour to a stoplight. And we're doing a number of things to help get people to recognize, oh, I'm entering an urban area, I need to start slowing down and do that. Another thing is that this map is old, the aerial photograph, we recognize that. One of the issues is the detail. We have more recent aerial photographs, but it doesn't show the detail that, you know, this one does, so that's why. But it's essentially the same. Another thing we've done too is actually done more sidewalk construction. Originally, we were only going to be constructing sidewalk mostly on the north side of First Street from where it was ended and taking it over to east over to the intersection. But we were able to chase some sidewalk funds and look at completing all the sidewalks and infilling all the sidewalks in First Street. And again, that'll just improve the overall corridor and make it safer for pedestrians, aka students during lunchtime heading to McDonald's, to utilize sidewalks instead of walking in the street and then utilize the sidewalks to cross the intersection. The sidewalks that are going to be constructed on US 97, you know, adjacent to the maintenance facility, we're constructing that according to, again, that cross section of the corridor plan. They're 8-foot sidewalks. It's a multi-use path. They're 8-foot. There's going to be a drainage swell there, and then the curb, bike lane. So it's going to follow that plan. The sidewalks going to be constructed on First Street are going to match existing sidewalks. Typical, they're 6-foot wide. But they'll have the 6-foot wide sidewalks, and they'll have a swale. And the other thing is that we did hear you last time that we didn't want swales to look like not Tumalo, but what's the other one? Where they have all the gravel? I'm sorry.
Terrebonne,
yeah. So though they're not going to look like that. They're going to be planted with natural plantings and you know just large rocks. Yeah. We're not, yeah, we've been told no large rocks, so.
Terrebonne is this full, they dug them out and put rock in them, gravel from a rock crusher in there. There isn't a bush, a tree, nothing.
Yeah.
It's unincorporated.
Right, yeah, they don't have the infrastructure to maintain anything. That's the difference. And that's a conversation we're going to start having with the city, with you guys, is, okay, you want to do some sort of plantings, you want to do trees, you want to do natural vegetation, whatever. Okay, that means irrigation system, you know, who's going to maintain that, how is it going to look like? And that's going to be a conversation we're going to have over the next several months to kind of flesh that out, because like I said before a few weeks ago, we're really good at laying asphalt. We're not very good at watering trees and making things green. That's not our expertise. So we want to focus on what we do well, and you guys focus on what you do well. And that's, you know, it's going to be your city. And it's going to be an important corridor as you come in from the north. And you come in the First Street, you know, that's going to be, and Rick pointed this out, you know, this is, last time, this is going to be an important, you know, recognition to folks, like, oh, I'm in an urban area, oh, this is the city of Lapine. Okay, it's just not, you know, it's not a truck stop. You're going to be doing, we're going to be doing something, and we want to do it right. And we want to do something that is going to be able to maintain itself, and, well, that's easy to maintain over long term. So anyway, so see, we're doing additional sidewalk, completing all that sidewalk on First Street, again, chasing some sidewalk funds, and we've been successful at that. Let's see. That's pretty much it of what I have. I'm open to questions. I may not have all the answers, but I'd be willing to entertain any questions you may have about time frames, schedules, you know, what we're doing and that kind of thing.
Number one would be, since we've got the ODOT Quick Fix grant that's going out here.
Right.
Okay. And we just hired Century West.
Okay.
And within a couple months, we'll kind of, and they're using the same cross section basically of swales and all the different things. So I want to really, A, make sure we coordinate with them, because I noticed in their thing, they took the corridor plan and they put a 9-foot bike lane. But I think, you know, and some of the stuff we need to make sure, what I want to make sure is these are the two entrances of a north-south, so I'm thinking you guys only want it to be 7 with another couple feet, so we need to make sure whatever we do here is going there.
Yeah, it looks, may not be exactly, but it looks very similar.
And the same would be with lights. What we're trying to do is whatever template we come up with out here would be, unless we decide after it needs tweak, so when we're doing this, what you guys need to do is we need to spend a little extra time thinking of that also, because we could change this if we don't think that works there. You know, because that'll work in your timeline, because they'll be working on this.
Yep.
Then you'll be able to almost take some of what they did, and that'll be what we need down there.
Yep.
And we've already all bought into it.
Yep.
So
that'll be a huge thing, having you go through that process here. So by the time we get there,
we've got a landscape architect and all.
Okay, good.
So we're going to pick up the light. If yours are going on top of your signal, that's a certain kind of light, but we will have some decorative lights here.
Right.
So we may end up with a few down there. So we want to plan for that. And then secondly, that sidewalk on, how much money did you just end up getting some sidewalk money? Do you know how much?
About $100K.
Okay.
Yeah. We basically are told we could, you know, infill and complete what we needed to do.
Was that since I was down at ODOT and talked to all you guys? Is that your reason to do that? Or has it been there for a while?
It's been there for a while, yeah. We just weren't sure of how much, but we were basically told we can complete that infilling sidewalk and we would be funded for that.
Okay. Secondly, on First Street then, at least would you look at whether we could make that 8 feet wide on from the corner down, because you're doing on the south side, you're doing 80% of that street, if you look
correct
at that.
Correct.
And that, and see, Huntington's going to be 8 foot, because that's your downtown commercial. In our corridor plan, 97 is 8 foot, and this connects the two. And since we're building 8% of it, to have a sidewalk 2 feet narrower really doesn't make a lot of sense. You know, if we were off on other streets, that would be fine, but I think that what I want to do is make sure Huntington comes to Highway 97 right down here. So you end up, you have a triangle. What you really have, you have Huntington, First Street, and 97. in a triangle. That triangle needs to be 8-foot sidewalks, because people are here on the highway, they're downtown, and then the connector. So I don't think a couple more feet would make too big of a difference.
Yeah.
See
what... Well, look at that. One of the limitations is that right-of-way width. We have a lot more right-of-way to play with along the 97 corridor than we do here. So
okay.
Look at that. Maybe take it up in the drainage swell, what that might mean. So
we
can look at that, because it's lowering, it's narrowing it by...
How wide is your right-of-way there, about you?
Our right-of-way? I don't remember.
Okay.
I want to say 100 foot, but it's pretty wide. I don't know if it's quite wide, right? But it's pretty wide.
And then also, in those vital swells, same thing. We'll want to put trees in some things, probably.
Right.
So when you're doing that vital swell, it's not just... because we're good. We're tying First Street, 97, and Huntington.
Right.
When a person comes to that red light and they look west, that's your welcome to downtown Lynn, Lapine. And I'd like to see one of these arches someday. And that's the old downtown. That's your historic downtown. That's your... We want to make sure that that street, if we're building that much sidewalk, we've either planned for in-sidewalk street trees with grates or in the bioswell. So, you know, obviously, you know, we're willing to pay for the trees, but I'm not asking you to pay for the trees. So you don't have to worry about that.
Okay.
But, you know, we've got to make sure it's planned for water,
right.
sleeved, and that.
Yeah.
That's
cheap
and easy to do.
It is. But it needs to be thought about in the next several months, so we can design for that and then actually construct it. So, yeah.
Okay. That probably are my issues. Let's make sure they're on the record.
So, Rick, what is the timeline again for the other contractor?
This one?
Yeah.
He's actually, we'll be approving them tonight, and it's Century West. And they were doing Sisters. So they've been kind of into the downtown Sisters. They've been doing a bunch of engineering. Have had some.
So they've been working with Paul Bertagna and
the
City of Sisters?
Yeah, they're the City of Sisters engineer.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Not ODOT, they're the city.
Yeah.
So in our ODOT project out here, we were supposed to be done by the end of September, obviously it's going to happen. But we'll have good stuff on that in the next 60 days. Because it's not this and that big of a project, but if we're all coordinated, and they have to get your buy-off on this anyway. So I think I'm just saying is when you're looking at this for this buyout, put the north end on it. And we can talk, because we could change something here if we think it would be better. And just will that timeline work? They'll probably be doing July and August is when they'll be, you know, June, July, part of August.
Is that construction, actual construction?
No, that's the actual
design. But what about construction? When
construction, they'll do that September, October, November.
Okay.
It'll be done before winter.
Okay. See, that'll still be good time, because that still gives us time for any last-minute changes in our plan specs. Oh, that's a good thing. We want to do that. Oh, that's not a good thing. Let's change this a little bit. Let's modify it. So that'll give us some time. So.
And like I said, that pipeline, I caught that when they gave us their proposal. They have this little, and I know you don't like a 9-foot bike path or bike lane, because cars start to park on it.
Yeah.
But we had 3 extra feet, so 6 is normal. Is that 6 normal?
Pretty much, yeah.
So it talked was you'd add one more foot, make it 7. That still isn't pretty for a car, and then you'd have a couple. We got a couple more feet to play with there.
Yeah.
Do you make the bioswell bigger? Just go out further. Do you make the road lane 1 more foot wider? You know, you kind of split the differences between all this.
Yep.
So that's something that I think does need flushed out.
I think one of the key things is to find out who the roadway designer in Century West is and connect that person with our roadway designer, so they're starting to communicate and talk, and so there's some sharing of information.
Because they talk about having maybe a different color. You know how they're starting to do these different color where you separate the travel lane to the bike lane. You could use maybe a foot of that or something as a color change, hit the bike over further. Plus, because of snow here, it gives you more room for snow, so you're actually getting snow storage.
Good. Good thoughts. Okay.
That's all from you, Mr. Mayor.
Oh, the other thing I forgot to mention is we have been doing some practical outreach to the community and to folks. I know Rex was actually out last week knocking on doors, visiting folks all around this intersection, meet and greet, you know, letting them know what's going on and answering questions. And the biggest, of course, question was, how come you guys couldn't do this sooner? But we all understand that. So, but so we've been, you know, continuing that outreach. You're going to see more. We're going to do an open house. We're talking about it tonight, about when that makes sense, probably at the preliminary plans. We get a little better idea of, you know, what this is actually going to look like, and then have an open house and get folks realize again, this is happening, it's real, it's coming, and, you know, that sort of thing. Just keep out front with them, that outreach. So.
On the signal light, it shows it a three light. We're planning on having more business going down Reed with trucks. Is there going to be an arrow light included in that signal to stop traffic?
You mean a left turn?
Let the trucks go, you know, onto Reed and back on the 97?
You know, I don't have the traffic signal plans with me, but I know that what you're seeing there is just a conceptual signal sign. Yeah. Far as you have a left, you're asking if you have a protected left movement, turning movement. Mm-hmm. I'd have to look at the traffic signal plans, and I haven't seen those in a little bit, so I can't answer your question. I can let you know, though, but we do have, obviously, a protected left turn. It would make sense to have that, but I don't know if it's actually set up for that or not.
My next question because eventually
Reed's
my hope is that will become a truck route.
Yes,
and
yes.
Get the trucks off of our Findlay View route. And did you say there were three lights on the west side going south?
Actually, we're putting in poles at each of the intersections so we don't have to do a sign bridge or a signal bridge. We just have a conceptual signal. The actual, a lot of the details are still kind of being worked out for us.
No, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Street lights, yes.
Oh, I'm sorry, luminaires.
Yes.
Yes, there are some luminaires that are going to be installed that we're planning on installing alongside southbound 97 as you approach the intersection.
Okay.
And they don't show up on here. That's one of the things. And the next iteration of this map that we distribute to the public was the sort of thing we're going to put on there. And again, the reason for that is we wanted to start to illuminate things and so people understand, well, we're going into an urban area.
Okay, so then there'll be nothing on the northbound lane.
No.
Going out?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense because people are leaving town and they're accelerating. So we want people to de-accelerate. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Good question.
No, I'm just excited. I think it's, you know, spent the last many years talking about it, but I think when Kitty was mayor, and then after that, everyone, we got more serious about dialing in. I kept saying, you know, we've got to focus on the corner, focus on some of this, and not, you know, people wanted signals at four intersections, and, you know, you say that's not going to happen. But I think the fact everyone came together kind of on one spot, and then with the county money and the legislation, that helped.
Yep.
And ODOT's doing a great job. Your outreach, because I've heard from people out there that said you've been in and talked to them. I was kind of excited. It's moved up. So next year at this time, they'll be starting to work on that corner, and I think people will definitely like it, and it will be much safer.
Yes.
All these intersections in this town, you have to turn your head sideways because nothing lines up. This one still doesn't line up. Kittleson yesterday told me, he said, well, they're not lining it up. I said, well, maybe because it's signalized, it's not as big an issue as that.
Pretty much. And again, it goes to money and right-of-way issues. They are not aligned. We're going to do some striping and realign those, and, you know, some minor modifications. They're not going to be completely realigned. Those still work, though. They still work.
Well, I think it's important for the community when you do the outreach that the city, you know, get the advertising out there, mention it everywhere we can at the chamber, you know, because it is important that they know something's happening.
Yes. And maybe we can start doing some things, Rex, with the public information paper, and then put the city's logo on that and that kind of thing, and kind of make it more of a joint, you know, venture thing where we're all reaching out to the community, and they realize it's just not ODOT, but it's ODOT and the city of La Pine, and the county's involved. I mean, there's three agencies, you know, parties involved in this. So.
And
I really want to make this thing happen.
I know you don't have the report, but I would assume these are going to have, the traffic signals will be, have the octagon.
Octagon?
Yeah, that's it.
For the fire?
Oh.
They come out.
Yeah. You know, that's again, another important stakeholder is, you know, the emergency services folks, and they're going to be accommodated for whatever we need to, you know, accommodate them, so, yeah.
And then we'll have to move some utilities, right, a little bit, we think. We're hoping that's going to be minimized.
Yeah. Right now, we're, in fact, there's an IGA that's coming your way. Just got sent me an email this afternoon.
Oh, I saw that.
Okay, great. And it's a draft, and we basically have identified, it looks like, around $10,000 worth of utilities that are not, that have to be moved, that are not reimbursable, so.
$10,000?
Yeah.
We can handle that.
It's better than the alternative, so. And those are things like the, there's valve boxes, there's some fire hydrants, things like that. So.
Any other
questions?
Okay.
All right, we'll give you this opportunity, and we'll be coming back again probably in a few more months and give you another update with a little more map with some more details. Again, that's the process. We get more and more details we go by. Have more detail, and then talk about an open house and work with you guys as far as what that might, you know, would be a good time for that, so.
Great.
Okay.
Right.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
See you later.
You'll make sure the record stays cool.
Yes.
But no one's still coming back.
The city, like, I can leave this map here. I can
just
pick it off here.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Let's stick that. Turn that up.
Okay.
We'll start. We got maps everywhere.
Need more?
Yeah.
You got a permanent button in office for that?
We'll make it.
I love maps. Thank you.
Oh, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have a little spot. Yeah, thank you.
Next.
Go ahead.
Irene.
That is going to be resolution. You have a new one laid out. And that is resolution 2013-9, and what the law is, just to educate all of us, because we learn this as we go, when we, in the budget, we created reserve funds, and you have to actually establish a reserve fund. The council has to establish, there's laws with a reserve fund. You have to say how long they're going to be there and so on, and there's a maximum of 10 years. When we put money in a reserve fund, like we have with sewer and water, when you see in the budget, that's there. You're truly reserving it. They don't really want you just throwing some over there for a year and then moving it over to the other side. These are set aside for large capital construction projects. And that hadn't been how we did it on these in the past. So, and then the cemetery, of course, was new. And that's definitely a reserve fund that's set aside for the cemetery, so that was new. And then, because of the water, the USDA required us to keep 1 year extra payment. So we have in our regular budget, we have the money to make the payment, but they make you have 1 year set aside in addition. And so they want it in an identifiable separate reserve fund. And that's the change that we had to make here. So you'll notice down on item two toward the bottom there, it says water fund, debt service. That's one we added in the budget. It's to separate out $190,000. So anyway, this is just a requirement to establish these funds.
Housekeeping.
Yeah. You know, yeah. And it's really a good thing. You'll be able to watch these and make sure the money, some money's going in them. So we just need a motion. Yeah.
Move that we pass resolution number 2013-09 as written.
Okay. Do I have a second?
Second.
Been moved and seconded to approve resolution number 2013-09. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Do I get a vote? We got a quorum.
You have a quorum anyway, so.
Okay, it passes.
And then as these are passed, you'll notice that maybe throughout this, one of them will actually come down and have you sign and bring it to me, because I'm requiring that all resolutions and things are signed when we're here and they're approved. So Ashley, sometime in the next few minutes, may come down and bring that to you.
Then you can.
Because we end up with resolutions unsigned for weeks.
Isn't Ken supposed to sign them?
Well, if it says Ken, then we'll have to wait.
Yeah.
On that. Yes.
Ken.
Does it Ken? Although he wasn't here, so we'll see.
Okay, next is item 9.
Item 9 is adopting, well, we need to adopt our budget. This, you basically, we had our budget hearing. Were you all here?
No.
You skipped it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we had our budget hearing last Wednesday. We opened it, we closed it, so the public had their chance to comment on the budget. I think Doug was there and made a comment. And so tonight is just, there is no public comment on it. You don't reopen the hearing. It's just basically, obviously if the council wanted to make a change in the budget, you could recommend that. But absent that, then you would approve the budget and this resolution, be it resolved, the City of Lapine hereby adopts the budget for the fiscal year 2013-14. In the sum of $9,604,101, and then makes these appropriations. And at the same time, the resolution then authorizes the $1.93 per thousand is the amount of tax we will tax.
Okay.
So does anyone have any questions or comments on the budget at this point?
Was the tourism fund 65 or 67? I know we were doing different things with that material and services.
I will go. It is.
I thought we capped it at 65.
Oh, what you're saying is, I think what you were saying is how much went to the chamber, maybe? Or
is that, yeah. Maybe that.
Basically, there's we have the 89,000 there that's listed.
Okay.
There's 89,000 in this thing here. You don't put every category. There is 89,000 in the tourism fund. Actually, 96.
Right.
7,000 of that is unappropriate ending balance. So we have take 7,000 off 96,000, and that's 89,000. That's why that says 89. The other 7, if you go to the second page, the resolution, and you see where it'll say unappropriated reserve funds for 3.8 million.
Yeah.
Okay, that is where the 7,000 is. So I have to take the unappropriated ending fund balances of all the funds and stick them in there, and the reserve fund. When you add it all up, you'll notice it's 9,604, which is our total. But the chamber itself, we have 52,000.
Okay, that's right. Okay,
and then we have 5 for community funds and then 10 for tourism promotion for like community events and things.
Okay, that's where I got lost.
Yes.
Okay. Very good.
And then the reason we had to redo this, we got this a couple days, I put in the road fund, public works fund, I put 130,000, I put it in here and it should have been in the unappropriated. And it's because we have it in with materials and services and we have it reserved for future expenditures, but I didn't put it, I wasn't sure where I should put it. So I put it one way and then I checked with Brenda and she says, I think we better put it over here. So I made a switcheroo. That 130 is set aside for the First Street, for these sidewalks and these lights and these trees I was talking about. So, and that project will start after July, really by the time they start doing anything. You know, so this is, I, so that, remember, I'm not here. That 130.
You'll be here.
That's why we need to keep track of that.
That 130.
Stays.
And so what, the next year's budget, when you're adopting it, that 130 would move up out of the reserve and actually end under like contracts, because you're going to contract people to put in the plans and do the things. So it'll move up from there. So you've already funded that project at least pretty much for next year. I was afraid people would spend that money if I didn't do it that way.
Yeah.
So, now maybe it's 150, we had to add 30 to it, but that's a lot easier bite. Mm-hmm. You know, we have no clue what it'll all cost at that point, so.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, do I have a motion?
I make a motion that we approve the resolution 2013-10.
Second. Been moved and seconded for adopting resolution 2013-10. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. Item 10 is a selection of the engineers to do some of these projects.
Again, that's true. Get it. Have some of you all.
So tonight we could take, we'll take Anderson Perry first. I think they handed that out to you.
Yeah,
and that is for water in, some water and sewer projects. You got that one?
Mm-hmm. It should be in your file folders.
Okay. We went through the interview process. Some of you participated. We had two companies. So what we'd like you to do is to accept the recommendation to hire Anderson Perry to do water and wastewater system evaluations and engineering and authorize the city manager to sign a contract with them after some negotiation. No. It's this big old...
This one.
Right here. I'm holding it up. It's right in front of you.
Yep.
Yep.
A pretty one.
Okay.
Okay. And they were here today, actually. Scott and I met with Brad Baird.
Brad Baird.
And he's an owner of the firm. And so we were scoping out the project. The project is basically...
It's going to be a review of our water system and system capacity in the industrial park located behind Mid-State. Review and some study on our sewer lift station in Wickiup Junction. And a very small review of sewer in the Cagle neighborhood.
Correct. Yeah. And so they'll come up with some costs, like if we want, and we'll decide. Then the decision, the tough decision is really there, is like, okay, if it costs X, do you want to go in and put a new water line into that industrial park behind Mid-State? And, you know, that'll be a, we'll need to decide it. We could have them engineer it and actually do, the next step would be actually draw it, design it,
right.
But not yet install it. You wait for a company to come along. Because that speeds it up. If a company comes and you've done that part, it's pretty easy just to go ahead and lay the pipe and do it. Because why they're doing their thing, you get that done. It kind of cuts that process in half. The danger in putting it in, if you don't, it's like, it already is served by an 8-inch.
Correct.
It's served by an 8-inch line. You have over 1,000 GPM, gallons per minute, fire flow. And if a company comes, and most of the majority of the companies would locate there, might only need 500 or 1,000. So you could land a couple companies and not need the second line in there yet. And so if that's been available for how many years? A few? How long ago was that all done?
6 or 7 years ago.
So in 6 or 7 years, that back there has moderate to low success. As far as it has no customers, there's not a business back there. So you know, if you can put a couple businesses back there without a problem, And, you know, you put in one in the next year or two, and you put one a year after that, you know, it's like, do you want to go drop several hundred thousand dollars if you won't need it for 10 years? And that's going to be the, so on one hand, you want to be ready, but you don't want to overbuild. You know, and it's that, that balance. But this analysis will kind of tell us what's our fire flow. I mean, that's what it's all about. It really is. I mean, it's not the business consuming the water. It's, in order for them to build, it's fire flow. For fire sprinkling systems in their buildings and that type of thing. And it depends on, but an average new building or something, really, they don't use near the fire flow that you might think if they sprinkle it. That reduces the requirements. We could double the fire flow by bringing in one more line, and that loops it. And so we could get up to a couple, over 2,000 gallons per minute. So that's what that project is. Then you get into the Kegel one called the Wickiup Kegel. Our current, we're replacing, twice a year, we're replacing the pumps out there that send the effluent to the treatment plant. Twice a year the motors are going out, so there's something wrong. And they're gonna, we'll fix that for sure. And then now the question will be, when you're doing that, if it's maybe $100,000, $200,000 to put in a whole new thing there, but that then is big enough, if you ever added cable, might be worth doing it. You know, it's that kind of thing. You're gonna have to wait. If it's $500,000, then you don't do that. See, that's where it goes back to that growth again. Kegel is so many years out that you got to be careful sizing something for a subdivision that is that iffy, that far out.
Well, will this look at the available lots out there that are not developed yet?
I think they, yeah, that's what they'll do. They'll look at the lots and then calculate flow, usage. And then the same things hold in the Newberry neighborhoods around Crescent Creek. If you start adding some houses, you know, how does that all? It's interesting. There's a lot of decisions because we have a pumping station that pumps from Crescent Creek out to the highway, which connects to the Wickiup line, which then comes to town, goes under the road to the plant. Well, you may end up needing a bigger line from the Wickiup, call it the Crescent Creek Junction, because you've got Crescent Creek's septic coming on. If you add more houses over in the new neighborhoods, see, you may need a new bigger line from there, and then you could still have the one that's existing out to Wickiup. The other thing is, you learned today, I mean, Scott knew it, but you say, well, if you want to go build a 10-inch, put in a 10-inch main, and you only really need six in sewer, you don't want to do that, because in an ugly, mean world, you know, not everything's pretty in sewers, so understand, and although Kitty loves anything septic, she runs a septic business. It takes flow to move things, and to move stuff through and along efficiently in a sewer line. And if you have water somewhat stagnant in a big pipe, you end up with problems. So it's important to keep things moving at a nice rate of speed.
Stupid, where you smell?
You can picture the problem. Did you guys all get that? You gotta
keep things moving.
Yeah, so that's the thing. If Kegel isn't coming on and the Newberry neighborhood is, you know, you're not gonna see another Crescent Creek for a decade. You can't go size it for that right now because it won't work.
Well, that's what I was asking about, the number of lots still undeveloped, you know, if that'll put more pressure on the system, excuse that.
Yeah.
But, you know, that would help us determine if that is needed up there.
Well, that's what we do if you say move forward on this. That's what these guys are going to study. And they were recommended by our...
But we do know that pump needs...
Yes.
Absolutely.
That pump station.
We will spend some money on that pump. So, I guess what we ask is, again, if you'd make a motion to authorize the city manager to enter into and sign a contract with Anderson Perry to work on our wastewater and water systems of the projects we've outlined.
Yes.
So moved.
Seconded.
Pat, did you, Patty, you figured out my motion? What
yeah,
I say?
I think so.
People do that all the time. That's fine.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is Century West?
No, this one here is Anderson Perry. Century West is next. So this will be Anderson Perry.
Okay, so it's been moved and seconded to approve Anderson Perry and the city manager to enter into the
contract.
Aye.
Oh, I need a second.
Oh, I
seconded. No,
great.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion passes. Have fun.
And we'll, it'll probably be maybe middle of July before we actually have something with them. Now, these guys, Century West is the sidewalks, kind of lighting and sidewalk projects we've been talking about here and down on Huntington, and looking around Findlay Butte and some lighting. And they've actually sent, we've worked out a scope of work that came to us. Did you get, I don't know if that went out to you guys or not, but we do have a scope of work with them that outlines what they're going to do for us and everything.
This one.
Yes, what's the price on the back, $29,000?
I think that's what it said.
Last page.
$29,330.
Yes. That's the amount at this point. So I want you, when you're ready to make a motion, just same thing, but approve Century West and the city manager to sign, you know, negotiate and sign a contract with Century West to do these projects. And this should be the price, however, you know, it could change just a little, but it was 36 something.
Yeah.
So then I emailed them, discussed it further, and so it came down $7,000.
I have a question on that. Is the actual work on the sidewalks going to be offered up to our local contractors, or are they going to bring someone from outside again?
What they'll do is, good question, this will be bid. It's a state job. I mean, state funded. So what happens is it goes into the Daily Journal of Commerce. It'll be in the Newberry Eagle. It'll be on our website, and it'll be at the Builders, called the Central Rec Builders Board. So anyone that has access to the Newberry or whatever, and they'll have a month or 2 weeks or 3 weeks to respond and do it. So yeah, it's
I just wondered that.
Yeah. What you find, and I think we learned it from this building, and you find it with all, especially public projects, you get into prevailing wages, and small operators don't, it's a bureaucracy that they just can't do. I mean, you know, a guy that's out here, like we're going to do some sidewalk repairs on Huntington.
Mm-hmm.
Scott is going to start, maybe already did, talking to some.
Yeah, I got some calls to come back. But
yeah, so, you know, there we can go out and get some local guys to do that. But when you get out on these, they see that bookkeeping requirement. They don't understand it. They've never done it. Now, what you will find, though, is the concrete itself may come from your purveyors here. Some of that stuff. Landscaping, it's possible you could get some of that. Electrician, do you have any local electrician?
Yeah.
Some of that you might get.
Okay.
So, but it is open to anyone. And Century West is the, you know, Tom who sits here at every meeting.
Okay. We know them by another.
Oh. What you guys said at the meeting? I remember. Yeah.
They're really cute.
Do we have to have a discussion?
No. They're just really cute.
Do we want to?
That's why we decided to hire them.
That's
so cute.
See, when
never mind.
When she was leaving, when we're done with the interview,
she had to leave, and so she says, "Oh, hire them, they're cute." So they've been laughing over it.
Yes.
There was three guys from Century West here.
Yes. Just had to have some fun.
And you look so innocent.
Yeah, I don't. Okay, I'm going to try this question. Okay. Wrapped the wrong paper.
There you go.
I want to make a motion for the engineering consultant services for City of Lapine and sidewalk improvement with Century West for approximately $29,330.
And authorize the city manager to execute and sign that contract.
And authorize the city manager to execute and sign that contract. Second.
Been moved and seconded to enter into a contract with Century West and allow the city manager to negotiate the contract for the specified. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion passes. Next is a memorandum of understanding between the City of Lapine and EDCO.
You had a draft in your packet, and they're not substantive issues, but there is kind of quite a few called markups on that since this one went. And I couldn't get a clean copy because somehow it's locked, you know, it's been locked, so I can't take the changes and make it to where it's readable. It's got blue lines and red lines and lines all green lines, and there's lines everywhere. So you could, if you're comfortable, you could authorize, again, basically the same thing for me to finalize it. It's as far as the big numbers, and it's all that, there's no issues with it. It's things like one place it'll say an agreement, and they want it to be MOU everywhere. It's an as and a the. And then when we put down it's south, like the Sun River area, well then one attorney reviews it and says, well, that's not specific enough. So then it's Sun River and its surrounding area. And then the next one says, no, they don't like that, so it's south of Bend, you know. And I told the day, I said, you know, once you guys figure out where you're talking, just let me know. Because we know where we're talking. So it's that kind of stuff. The only reason it would be nice to get it to where we could just get it signed is that EDCO is right now hiring, they interviewed in Sisters. Sisters has a half-time opening, just same exact thing we're doing, half-time, they'll work at City Hall, they'll work for EDCO, and they just did a recruitment, and they had a lot of applicants, and Roger Lee told me there probably were some in there that would be pretty good here, and they were people that wanted a half-time job and all of that. So. They got those people are out there hanging, and they've just talked to them. And so the quicker we get this signed, then we can move to the hiring. They're going to then put the ad out because EDCO will actually hire. But we can't do it till we get this agreement. So it'll probably be August, even if we approve this now. The reality is it'll probably be August 1st because July is only a couple weeks off. So hopefully by July. And also tonight, just if you want to go upstairs and you can look at the new furniture that we bought. We've already got the furniture for this office. Because the county authorized $5,000 to go toward the EDCO position in the budget year that ends June 30th. And they just said, whatever you need, if it's computers, things to get this up and going, but if you don't spend it by June 30th, of course, it goes away. So we did order up a nice desk and chairs. This is professional. The person needs to be able to visit with business people when they come in. And I'm going to order up a laptop for them. And that kind of thing. So those will be properties of the city. Of course, we'll be able to keep them if EDCO ever left. But I don't have a markup copy for you to look at other than this one.
Can I ask a question? As I was reading through this, I wondered, how does I didn't see, I might have missed it, anything mentioned about tourism. Don't they need to have some understanding of tourism and how to put?
No.
No.
No, and that's a good question also. This is, tourism's already, we contract to the chamber to handle our tourism. This is creating jobs, industrial jobs, and we did include commercial. But as far as tourism itself, like being involved in things that bring tourism here, that's not a component of this job. Now, the reality is they'll go to chamber meetings and they will, you know, but that's not what EDCO does. EDCO's not in the tourism business directly.
I guess what I'm thinking of is, you know, advertising with Pine to bring the interest. So maybe tourism isn't the right.
No, because this is a whole different thing. That's really the chamber is to go out rah-rah, you know, the cheerleaders. Okay. This is more business, you know, we've got, say we just talked about the industrial land we've got back here. You go out and there's companies who will be looking to expand into Central Oregon. This person calls them up and will say, hey, I've got 20 acres in the Lapine Industrial Park. I've got 1,000 gallon fire flow. I've got, you know, French gas main, and I've got this many megawatts of power. I can get the land for $1 a foot. I can get you, enterprise zone, whatever. That's what they're doing. This isn't where you're out where someone's seeing that you're having a rodeo.
Oh, no.
You know, no. And marketing like that. It's a different deal. So tourism's really unrelated.
Unrelated.
Wouldn't you say, Stu? I mean,
yeah. This is pouring concrete.
But how do you develop the interest for it, you know, to say, we would love to have your business, look what we have to offer, that kind of thing.
Well, they go to trade shows. This person may travel to California to a trade show and advertise the Pine Industrial Group or Industrial Park there.
Okay.
It'll probably take, maybe manage a website for the Industrial Park.
Yeah, EDCO has an industrial site.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, a website.
Yeah,
I'm getting it. Yeah, and so, yeah, you're right. You could go to a trade show, but what will happen is maybe one person and EDCO will go to the trade show and the person will come up and say, you know, hey, I'm looking to locate in Bend or south of Bend. Someone, another one may come up and say, you know, we want to locate, you know, half a block from Facebook. You know, and then they start talking to them, and that's how that goes.
Okay.
It's based on, you know, and we have, I'll tell you, we have more industrial land, paved roads and fire hydrants of any city that I'm aware of in Central Oregon. Because until last week, I hadn't really driven around back behind the mid-state. This project here made me do that. So guys out there, and I was like, my gosh, you got a lot of land, you got a lot of roads, a lot of fire hydrants.
And someone may be looking for a spur line off the railroad. Well, we have a spur line.
Okay.
Not a lot of places in Central Oregon do.
That's true.
You know, so this is something that this person would
bring up.
The biggest thing you have is, one of the biggest things is you've got a Mid-State Electric in the middle of your industrial park. Mm-hmm. So you've got, I'll be off, but it'll be a fun number to say, 10 or 15 megawatts sitting in your industrial park. And outside of Prineville, where Facebook and Apple are going, and that's just because the VPA lines go through. Mm-hmm. They cross their industrial park.
Uh-huh.
That's just, you know, luck of the draw. The Facebook went where there were power lines. The power lines happened to cross through the Crook County. It was actually the county owned. Crook County industrial lands that the county owned. No one planned that. It just, that's where the VPA lines that have been around for 50 years were built. And it just happened, and you know, because for them it costs millions to go a mile, they have to move those lines, and so, but here you actually got quite a few megawatts, and so the thought is you could pick up some small, there's some small call centers or some small things that need some power. So, but we've had no one to focus in, nobody that's their job. So this person will be at City Hall halftime upstairs, and they will work on, and it's not just our land, it would be private development land. I mean, it's not just the county owned land. It's to bring jobs.
Okay.
And eventually it'll be working with Sun River also.
Yes.
So it'll be Lapine and Sun River and probably Northern Klamath County. Yeah. So it'll be representing the whole area.
And we did expand it to where commercial is important, because in the small towns, what EBCO's found, EBCO doesn't like commercial, I mean, if you ask them, but they've discovered, well, Sisters, see, there's, you know, commercial, that it's retail, that's what keeps Little Sisters going, where, you know, so they've had to adjust a little. And so they will work closely with our chamber, and if someone wanted to bring a Safeway, in other words, we could turn them loose working with Safeway to come in and talk about SDCs and all of those things, water and sewer and other stuff. So they would be involved.
And the other thing is, we're the last one with large industrial acreage.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like 5 acres, 10 acres. You know, so I think we're the last ones in Central Oregon to have those big lots available.
Well, the one BioGreen's 40.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they had 19 or 23 of it spoke before.
So that's what, you know, this job will do, and we'll see. You know, the city's contributing $20,000 a year, and we're doing a 3-year commitment. It's not one of these things that, you know, if the first 3 months later, they come up and give a report, what do you mean, you don't have an accompany yet?
Yeah.
These things take a long time to nurture. But so we're doing a 3-year commitment. County will put in 20, we'll put in 20, and private sector will put in $5,000 a year for a $45,000 program. That's the goal. That's what the agreement says. We can leave it for no reason with 90 days notice. So if you just decide it isn't working, you want to go a different route, they also can leave it with 90 days notice. The employee works for EDCO. They get hired and fired by EDCO. Their labor issues are with EDCO. They work for Roger Lee. They simply were giving them space, and that's what a contribution on the city's giving. And that's the same in Redmond, that the EDCO person works at the Chamber of Commerce. In Prineville, the person, actually now I think maybe at the Chamber, they've been in private offices also. In Madras, they're at the airport, the city contributes the land. And in Sisters, I'm assuming they're going to City Hall, but I actually don't know that.
Well, I think it's good that there's a warm pool floating around too, that we might be able to take advantage of.
And then we have our advisory group. That's made up of what, about 11, 10, well, we have two openings, so maybe 9. And Vic Russell's the chairman, and we've got Mid-State Electric has their chief operating officer on there because they're the power company. We've got a bank manager on there, so it's all the different folks that you need to create, you know, questions that a developer, someone would ask. They can talk to that group. So, I mean, I think it's taken a big step, really, for Lafayette to move forward on this. And let's spend 3 years and see what happens. So if you're comfortable approving it, it would move it along a couple weeks quicker. Otherwise, it'll have to wait.
Make a motion that we approve the memorandum of understanding between the City of Pine and the Economic Development of Central Oregon Incorporated as written.
And authorize me to negotiate.
Authorize you to negotiate. All right. Authorize Rick Allen to negotiate.
You need to use your mic so people hear.
Oh, it's on. I just forgot to look at it.
And I'll bring the agreement back to you guys. You can look at it.
Did you get it?
Mm-hmm.
The motion.
I second it.
It's been moved and seconded to enter into the agreement with EDCO. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. Next is other matters. And do we have any other matters?
That was if we added anything, which we didn't.
We did. So, okay. Wow. I like this. Public comment. Don Greiner, 16489 Charlotte Day Drive. Just wanted you to know that I've been in contact with the county commissioners,
They contacted Chris Doty, and I have a firm time on sealing the cracks in Crescent Creek. And I wanted to call your attention to the fact that the city is a partner with the county doing that. So you might like to set aside some money to pay the county for sealing those cracks. And we've only been 5 years getting that done. The other thing that I might just pass on as a piece of information to you, when talking with the Homeowners Association of Crescent Creek, they're really excited about the fact that the homes in Bend, the prices are going up. They feel very strongly that as the prices go up in Bend, that we're going to see more and more people coming to Lapine to build. And they're really going to try to do some marketing for Crescent Creek, because we'd like to see that a full community of owner-occupied homes, not owner-rented homes, owner-occupied homes. So I just want to pass that on for your information. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, staff reports, comments?
One thing is, I would, unless someone objects, we didn't get it in because we couldn't. It was a $50 donation to the car show, the car club, out of our community fund. $50 to the, we've given them money in the past. They have a couple hundred cars show up, and I was at the motel last night. They said they're booked that weekend, actually, from the car show. They volunteered. They said, oh, we're booked for the car show. So, it does, and this money comes to transient room tax. Every room there pays 7% or whatever to the transient room tax. Are we 6%? Are we 6%?
I think it's 8.
Is it 8? Yeah, so anyway, $50, Canada, pretty marginal. So, I told her we would do it.
Coming out of your line item.
Yeah. Because the car show is like in 2 weeks, so I didn't really have time to, and we'd already got the bills in. So, does anyone have a burn over that? In the future, you can fight over those. If I was on this council and it was a $50 item, I'd say let someone else fight it. What you're doing. I did send the chamber an email today asking for the financial statement so I can review the donations they made, the sponsorships, because it keeps coming up. And it's not that I don't think, I mean, absolutely, I don't think there's anything, it's not because I think there's something wrong. It's just that it comes up all the time is where are those sponsorships going? We used to kind of get a list and not sure anymore. So I, in one way, rather than have them just type it to me, I thought, give me the financial statement, then I can. That means a check was written, and I can actually look at it. Okay. So if you hear someone, an innocent, I just like to get it so I can have the knowledge of where this money, who's gotten it. So you might, because that could work its way through the rumor mill.
Well, it's just good to know what's going on.
Yeah, and we're at the end of the year. We're on June 12th. We're starting our new budget year for next year. Good idea to see where has it went in the past. Because the car club said that they had gotten it through the chamber 2 or 3 years ago, and they got $500 or something, and then it just went away. And you remember that race car was out getting $2,000 or $3,000, mm-hmm. And then this lady said she didn't know if they were getting anything, and so I thought that made me decide I want to know where, you know, is this race car still getting funded, and what's it doing? Mm-hmm. So, I did go, I sent out today thing on the complaint. Hopefully you like that.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like a letter we'll use more of. We'll be able to put in, you know, the type of thing so that we officially can. But, you know, I got the tax records from the county. So you got the tax map. You got pictures of the things on the property. So I think it comes across very professional. Let's them know here. Yeah. You know. And that's, you know, we'll see. She was going to take, did you send that out today?
Mm-hmm. You went certified.
Yeah.
And that one, this one went registered?
This one today did. And then the other one I'm going to send without it.
Yeah.
Because people are funny about certified mail if they think there's something coming they don't like. So if the non-certified got there first, and it came from the city of Lapine, and if the same day you get a post office thing from the city of Lapine, and guess what?
You don't look at it.
And you ain't going down there. So, but I think that you talk about things, you know, I think what can we do for the citizens? And I get the impression, and I don't know if all of you guys agree in a small group here, but I think people want a lot of this crap cleaned up. Flat out, they want it cleaned up. And you know, it doesn't really cost us much to at least go to that level, you know, some research on my part. But, you know, if we handle one of those a week, it's not a big deal. And we can start trying to see if we can get some compliance on some of this. And at least, and I'm going to send a copy of that then to the neighbor, so that he knows we're not doing nothing. And we're up trimming the trees in Cagle, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, and one guy was upset, but I guess, but I did talk to Mr. Shields, Mike, and he said no one was playing to him. So I think it's all, everything's fine. And we sent out a letter to all the neighbors, told them that we were going to trim the trees, and did we have any other calls? Do you know how far they are in that? Maybe, are they done?
No, they've got a few more days to work.
Okay. Now, I have been walking the streets, and I go, Don, I did his subdivision last night, and I go out and I just park and then walk all the streets, and I, in his case, I can look at cracks in the sidewalks, and you do get a feel for the homes that are for sale. I look at the for sale signs, I look at what they're selling for, you know, talk to the guy washing his car, you know, you can really kind of get a feel for places. And then last week I did, of course, all of this back here by Finley Butte. And everything. And what I really discovered over, especially over there, is that our sidewalks are overgrown with baby pine trees that are coming up everywhere in the borrow pits, the swales, and then they come along the fence lines, and then, you know, they're just about this big, but then their branches are sticking out that far. When you have a 5-foot sidewalk, you take a foot out this side, a foot out this side, and you end up this whole thing down the middle. And then when you get over these abandoned subdivisions that no one's built houses on, you really will find these things are just full. I mean, literally, there's thousands of trees. And so that's a lesson that we need to make sure that these developers who are now wanting to get interested again, they got to come clean those out. You can't just rent a weed eater. They got to be clipped. And then, so Scott and I have been talking about sterilizing. He's talking about getting some weed eaters and things, so the public works guys are going to start. We're going to take little parts of town and we'll start working on them. But my guess is they've never been touched probably since any of them were poor.
So is that the developer's responsibility, or is that the city?
I know.
A little both.
It's on public property. Now, if you go back, say, behind Huntington Meadows, where the road, below those roads to the south that had never been, no one right. lived on, I was out there yesterday, and, you know, I want to be careful the next time a developer comes in. It's now, so I'm assuming that went broke and someone else has it. I don't know that's true. Is that?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that's just a safe assumption.
Yeah.
And so when that person comes in, what I've got to do, and I sent an email to Chris Doty, who's the public works director at the county now. I said, I want you to come down because I want to have a city discussion. He was city public works director at Redmond. He knows cities. And cities are different than counties. And I would say, Chris, I want you to come down and we're going to talk about how to handle these, because this, I'm not sure that I like what happened, although it was okay. If you go back behind Finley View, you will see the new paved black painted road. What's the street?
Wheeler.
Right.
Yeah.
There was a subdivision that had been built but then abandoned, you know, went through the normal bankruptcies, and then someone else comes in and picks it up cheap. So, you know, the developers come in and they put in all that. And then talking with Joe Beesman from Kittleson, that, and I guess it makes some sense. And because I noticed this, if you go around, roads that aren't driven off, believe it or not, crack. And because the driving of the vehicles pushes and helps settle the concrete and pushes it down. Is that kind of?
Yes, and they claim the more you drive on it, the more it keeps those cracks kneaded together when the roads are hot. It doesn't make sense to me, but I'm not an engineer.
Because if you go over on the back side of where I was yesterday, Huntington Meadows, you will find big white cracks. And in those, because there's no traffic, the weeds, I mean, there's trees growing.
Yeah.
Well, a tree then puts out roots and then it spreads. So what you have is those rows, well, you think, well, no one's ever lived on them, a car's really never driven on them to speak of. And then when you look at the bioswale that's just full of trees, they're pushing over the sidewalks, and then some of those are getting this big, and then they can start lifting the sidewalk. Well, we got to be careful just taking those all back on. But I don't know what the law is.
Those are county, right? That's what we've always been told. It's county, and they're supposed to...
Some yes, some no.
Some yes, some no. Okay.
Well, actually, you can always go look at that map there. We'll tell you. Cuts color-coded. Okay. If you ever want to know. Well, one good thing, we have 2.8, 2.9, less than 3 miles of paved road out of 30 our city. And that's a good way to keep it. So 27 of the miles in town are county. But the county doesn't care about sidewalks and bioswales so much. So we'll end up, you know, doing those things. But it's also, if you know, if you go around and trim a tree, you're good for it. This is taking years to get there. It's nothing you have to do every year. You can kind of maintain them then, catch them when they're little, and spray. But we did also then go over and look at your subdivisions over there. And it goes back to what we were talking about. It's that filling in of those darn bioswales. Or not filling them in, because what's happened is every other subdivision, this is what I want to talk to Dodie about, is this design I think is a flawed, and I'm not a road builder, so they can convince me of anything, but I have a flawed design of what you guys have got going on here. And we don't, I believe, want it in the future. So we've got to come up with a standard. So I was talking to Century West about maybe having to do a road standard. But when you go over, if you want to see, what's that bad road, the cul-de-sac called?
Champagne.
Champagne.
These guys know all these things.
It's across from Mid-State, where the duplexes are.
Oh, yeah.
Go, if you haven't done it, you need to just drive over, and tonight on your way home, go over to Mid-State, turn right, go into that cul-de-sac. Mm-hmm. And what that street is destroyed. And if you look at it, it's the way they were built, and it's the standard we've created. And, you know, yes, you can go in and blame people for different parts of it, but to a degree, if you build something, people, they're just things, human, it's like, you know, a kid isn't going to, you can put a crosswalk down here by this sign to cross at this corner. Well, guess where they're crossing? You know, you're going to cross wherever it's short. I mean, so people do certain things. You just cannot. And so what I think you've done there, you in those subdivisions, you two live in a couple of them that are that way. Dawn's, because of a different demographic, is a little different. But they've allowed for no on-street parking. Well, the first thing, what fits in the average garage, may I ask? How many cars fit in the average garage?
Ours is 2 cars, supposedly.
How many fit?
And my VW fits in there really good.
If you have a 2-car garage, a good family can put 1 car in.
Yeah.
An average family, 0.
Yeah.
So then the cars have to go in the driveway. So at that point, you have to assume a minimum of 2 cars. So now you're at capacity at your house. So I have one person coming to visit. They have to park in the street. We didn't build in street parking. So then what you do is you have to drive over the bioswale and you pull off. And you've now got a pavement edge that in most cities is a curb. So the pavement sticks. So if you go around these subdivisions and everyone just start doing it, and what you see is the edge of the pavement, about this far from the edge, is broke off because the car pulls in, breaks it off. Guess what happens next time? It moves in another 2 inches. Moves in another 2 inches. And when you look over in that cul-de-sac, you will see down in the swale is broken chunks of asphalt. That's all come from the road. And then you've got lines running everywhere. You couldn't, so at dawn, Dawn's getting crack sealed. You couldn't crack seal this road. It's impossible to crack seal it. But if you think about it, the design made this. You cannot have a subdivision without any parking. Everyone, when you're on a 5,000 foot lot, hell, he's on an acre. He can put his friends all over the place. But if you're on a 5,000 foot lot, you can't have company. And that's our design. or that was the design that, that was approved. So.
Oh, and then you had snow on top.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have to make, you know, I think before we get the next boom, we need to come up with a standard. And the other thing is you got like an inch and a half in asphalt, probably it should be 2 to 3.
Three.
And so what they did is, and you'll notice where we saw some roads that were in better condition, they had like 3/4 minus gravel base. Then that little road we're talking about has like little baby pea gravel under it. And, you know, fortunately those are still county roads, and it may just go to gravel. I mean, and you will get the complaints. There is no way the city can financially do anything about it. But all we can do is learn from it and make sure that in the future. So if you go up there, actually, you'll see the weeds overgrown, the sidewalks and the trees, and you'll also see. Then if you go to Don's, it's kind of interesting, because you have, again, probably more people in that subdivision can get their cars in their garage. It's a demographic issue, for one. It's not as many rentals, although there are some. And these duplexes are all rentals. The higher, and you know from Huntington, the more rentals you get, the more issues you get. And think of it this way, a 3-bedroom duplex, 3 guys rent it. How many cars do you have?
Six.
Yeah.
You got 3. I was saying you got 4 to 5 because 1 or 2 have a girlfriend.
Yeah.
That only visits and of course goes home at 9 o'clock.
Yes.
So you literally, in 1 3-bedroom rental, you can have 5 cars.
Exactly.
And then these bioswales, because if you look at some of them, you'll see places, they're actually pretty deep, they go like a V. You can't drive your car in, that discourages it. But these, because they're so wide, they barely go down this far. So it's just kind of like going down a little gravel road, you just pull off. And then other people have filled them in, and to be honest, there's less pavement breaking where they fill them in flush. Because when you pull off, there isn't that thing. But what were the bioswales designed to do?
Snow.
And water.
Thicker.
Because they now half full of gravel, 3/4 full of gravel, you've displaced half of what they were designed to build. So I don't think it'll work. So we'll be, we'll look for some standards ahead if you guys all think that's not a bad idea. But I think we need to do it.
Yeah. Well, when these developers came in, I thought they were supposed to, there was a standard that the county was supposed to advise them to build the roads too.
And there was.
Okay.
But you know, counties, that's why I want Chris to come down. Counties look at things differently. You know, they're not used to city subdivisions. And so they were kind of thrown into where they're, it's not their comfort zone. It's not their standard. It's just not what they do.
And Reinhardt was making $100,000 a home. So all they wanted to do was get it done, and it didn't really matter.
Yeah. So look for that down the road here. So and when I got these engineers, we're going to start. You'll hear me more talk more and more about it. Kind of. It's trying to keep our costs down for the future, make subdivisions that will work so you can meet the expectations of the public 5 years after they've moved in. And we'll be better off in the long run. Not much we can do to those that are already destroyed.
So does that mean with Chris Doty looking at those, will they be able to look at some of our used streets, like the 3 main, or will that not be?
Which main streets?
Heath and Riley.
Oh, yours. I think when if they're not just going down to the Dons.
Oh,
okay. They'll do some other places.
Okay.
Yeah, some of yours, you know, your subdivision actually is, you know, you're salvageable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your subdivision, you want to go ahead and crack seal.
Okay.
And then maybe enforce a little bit of this parking down in these bioswales.
Yeah, because Crescent Creek isn't the only one that's going to get attention.
That's correct. Yeah.
We spread the wealth.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know Crescent Creek, you can tell it was probably thicker asphalt.
It is.
Yeah.
It was done right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. So Yeah, you're going to keep hearing this about roads and sidewalks, because that's kind of what we're going to do, and that's what the public wants.
Any other council comments?
Oh, since we're in the cemetery business, when can we expect a plot map for the cemetery, you know, available plots?
Well, we probably have one. I mean, we got one given to us, I guess, by the cemetery guy.
Are you planning something, Greg?
Gift for his mother-in-law?
Anniversary gift.
Well, we're
I got some place to throw.
I've had to move up the kind of, which I don't have time, but nevertheless, we're going to work harder on the cemetery, because that kind of got shoved around here for 6 or 8 months. And the state called me yesterday, and or the date, whatever, yeah, yesterday. And she was kind of, you know, saying we should be getting our act together. We're not licensed or certified as a, you know, now, I mean, it's there. We did have an interesting piece of mail came in our parcel post yesterday that we got, and we were shipped somebody yesterday. And so that really made, and it's kind of ironic, the day I'm talking to the lady from the mortuary, and Patty comes back with a box, and we think it's just the normal mail, and there's Henry. So, you know, first we have to figure out, well, what's he doing here? And where did he come from? And he came from California. We have since, the good detective work here, they have since...
None of us will be wearing.
No, they've since found the widow, and he was misaddressed. So the family, in fact, did they come get him? Mm-hmm. He's gone. So I think it made me realize that we need to get the cemetery figured out.
Yes. I could use the job.
So, yeah, that I've had to kind of shoot up the agenda a little. Well, we do have a map.
Yeah.
There is a map.
Yeah. I think it was upstairs.
I have a map. Oh, I have about 7 maps. None of them really match. I know Paul Cody has a better map.
He's a real big one.
That's what I heard, is that Paul has the best map.
There should be a very accurate one that was created and maintained by Midstate Electric.
By Byrne.
And I think that's the one that Paul has.
Okay. And then also, if you go over to, is it Baird's funeral home? He pretty well knows.
Yeah.
They know. You know, we're only getting about 3 or 4 a year. Their numbers have dropped a bunch because of cremation. And then they are starting to get people burying that. And so there's issues involved with that. It's going to be more of a pain than I wish, you know, but we're in it. As I told the lady from Salem, well, we got it. We didn't ask for it.
No,
but we got it. And it's something that you know, you're just going to do. So understand, we will be working on that over the next 2 months. And Jeremy was working on it, and there's lots of legal stuff with it all. Managing these plots, because you actually get a deed. It's like buying your house, so you get a deed to that property. So you can buy a spot. Good question.
So I'm sure...
I'm going to look for a map? Is that what
I mean? Just call Paul. See if he can bring his map down.
Well, I'll pull out the maps I have and see.
Yeah, we should be able to...
I archived all of that, and there was a...
The map Paul has, though, is full size. It's a really big...
Well, you know, we could go upstairs and put that on one of the white walls on one of those little cubby holes, so we have it out, because people are going to want to come pick their spot.
And people have already showed up wanting to know where their spot is. Like, they bought it and they don't know where it's at.
The ADA?
Well, the other thing, well, but I mean, we'd bring it down, I'm just saying. We could bring anyone that can't get up there, we would come down and see. But the other thing we could do is we could get a smaller version that's accurate, and put it on our website also. Because then people can blow it up and they can kind of look. So, but like I say, we'll get to all of that again. This isn't something new.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. I have, can I just list my questions that I've had for a while? Robin has been working on our, Marisol has been working on the logo and city logo, and she says she will move ahead as soon as she gets some money. So we need to know what we have to do to, did you read that? I sent it.
I saw that.
I know we had a little put away, and that was her understanding that she would get paid for some of this. So I thought she was moving ahead. She's also been sick, but now she said she wants that. That's one issue. I wish you'd address the...
No, just, I mean, why don't we take... Okay. First of all, Stu and you guys are working on the logo. Yeah. I have nothing to do with it. If we owe her money that's agreed to, then she should send us a bill.
And there's $500 set aside somewhere for that project.
But how do we know how much we owe her? Do
well,
we
she
ask
would,
her?
Tell her to send me an invoice.
She needs to... Okay.
Okay, but yeah, okay. This is also just comment. So, discussion
brother,
and...
here we go again.
But that, there is money set aside for that.
Okay.
So it's in the budget. There was money from last year. I don't know where it went.
Well, any money you don't spend carries over.
Okay. So there's $500 in the budget for logo design.
So you'll do that?
We can ask Rick to do that.
Do what?
Well,
I'm not getting involved in the logo,
no,
other than I'll pay the bill, but you guys need to pick your logo. I've been here for 3 years,
and
we've worked on logos.
That's
for
one of the things we're going to get done so we can prove people wrong that it will get done.
So if you guys agreed to the logo that she's designed, or has anyone approved it?
No.
Well,
she's still working on it.
She won't. Yeah, she won't move forward till she gets...
Well, how much? Well, then she needs to send a... I mean, if she's been hired to do a job, and you usually would send a bill, and then we would pay it.
Okay.
If she hasn't sent a bill...
So that's what we need to say to her.
Well...
How much did you guys hire her for?
She was doing some of it for free, but I guess she's reached her free point, and now would like to get paid.
Well, you probably going to need to know what she's going to charge to
per
design
hour.
Your logo.
Right.
You better be, if she's got, she must have something. If you guys...
She does.
Okay, have you guys seen it?
We've seen the preliminary, and we changed a couple things, and I think we're down to about three or four that she was going to work on and change for us. Add, take away, change colors, that kind of thing.
Well, the logo, which you better get to a draft point, and then you need people to be able to see it and comment, and, you know, the rest of the council. And
okay.
So
because you don't want to pay her to get to a final.
We're at the point where I guess we need to have her finalize what she wants to show.
Okay.
And have her work out the bill.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I would like you to address the, here goes, I'm not, is that a comment? That's a comment. I would like you to address the Finley Butte lights in case, when is that going up in a couple days?
There will be a street light that you can drive by and look at on Finley Butte, down by Finley Butte Park. That's on
Hinkle,
right across from the park. At that corner, they'll be putting up a light that's out of an existing pole, and that's kind of what we're going to do is we're going to street light the entire road. And I'm down to the park, and they have one. They were testing like how bright, and they think it might have to be brighter than the one they've got. So it's kind of a test. But that will be going up, and then we're going to stick one at the entrance to the park, so that it lights up that going into the park a little.
Okay.
And the Public Works Committee had picked two or three locations on there, and this kind of worked through them, and we met with them yesterday. And so it's part of our kind of lighting.
Alrighty, my last one, I don't know if I should name names, but I know
Kathy DeBone came to a meeting once, and we've had various people that have either, and it was brought to me, raised their hands or wanted to ask a question or have had comments. And to my understanding, just as I did the same thing, there's no place here if the public comes for us, for them, no matter who they are, whether we agree or not agree or whatever. I just think that there should be a place where somebody can ask a question if they're not sure about the lights or the roads or how do you address that? I've been uncomfortable with that. I know Kathy DeBone mentioned it to me, and she said she just felt insulted because she got shut down so fast and just wanted to find something out. So I don't know how to address that. I can't even get through with my questions, so I understand that. How do we deal with that? How do we let the public know that we're interested in what they have to say? They can't ask a question if they don't understand something without being, and I'm sorry, to me many times it's rude and just cut off or shut down. There's a way to handle this that is respecting their rights and guiding us all into the right way to do this.
That really is the style of the council. From a pure, first of all, none of it's a legal standpoint, but from a kind of a normal, call it a Robert's Rules of Order, or how you would conduct a meeting, the way you do it here is probably, call it kind of technically correct, where they come up and they can speak. The front ends of the meeting, the beginning of the end. I know exactly what you're saying. What you're saying is, say when we're discussing a topic, and they maybe want to make a point on it, or something like that, maybe. Or when they come up, they ask a question, and they're kind of like, well, just thank you for your comment, and then it's all silence. Mm-hmm. Because the way this council is operated, we never comment on anything they bring up. Mm-hmm. So I think what you're saying is, they've come to their elected officials, and there's no actual dialogue. You're told, you can come up, make your statement, and you just go back and sit down. And if during debate on issues then, so they wanted it, you know, you won't answer them when they ask it, when they come up, see, because you're just making a comment, and you're not allowed to comment during the discussion of the issue. So the public actually never has a way to comment on topics that come before the council.
Or clarify or anything, yeah.
So it's a style of the council.
It's very unfriendly. You know, we say we want more people to come, but why should they come when we don't welcome what they have to say or their thoughts or...
And there's a way to do that. There's a form they can fill out, and then they're on the agenda and they can talk back and forth for 5-10 minutes.
Yeah, that form's on the website too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And a lot of times, you know, when they do come up, we let it go beyond the comment stage. And unfortunately,
I haven't seen that. Usually it's cut off quick.
Oh no, that's how come some of the meetings go so long.
Okay.
Because we do get into that dialogue, and then it becomes one question leads to another and another, which is good. But then all of a sudden, we're sidetracked. And we also have to be aware of respecting the people that came for a specific purpose, but then have to sit through a topic that's been taken to the left.
So do we need, see, there's another question.
Mm-hmm, yeah, but that's fine.
So do we need more city halls where the public feel like they can come in and ask questions?
I think so.
Because we're stifling. You know, we ask for interest, come tell us what you want, and then on the other hand we say, well, we're not going to listen to you and we're not going to talk to you.
I think
it's, to me it's a difficult
place to be in.
What do you guys think?
Yeah, I agree with Stu, having more town hall meetings and have that open interaction with the public and let them ask questions and hopefully we can answer and open up that line of communication with them to a better, you know, point than it is now.
I don't think we've had a town hall.
Not since I've been here.
Not that I've ever seen.
Well, no, not
I guess we haven't had a real need, yeah. Even a question and answer night, come to City Hall.
Yeah, but you know, you can do that once or two or three times a year. I got the impression that you're just talking in general, not...
Yeah, I don't
meeting know. After meeting, not just a...
Yeah, kind of well, I know once Doug had a question and he got shut down and you can't ask a question. And it was, to me, it was a... I didn't know either. Well, it was when all those guys came for the brew pub. And I don't know the city that well. And he asked, now where exactly will this business be? And then the mayor shut him down real quick. You can't ask a question. And to me, it's not right. I didn't know either. I would have, you know, now I know where it was going to be, but I didn't understand. So it would have been nice for just a nice answer. It's here and here. This is where the place is going to be or something. And maybe that's not legal for a while.
Aaron, what did you think?
Well, I've sat in both places, out there and now here. And I do feel that sometimes we cut people off when maybe we should listen. I agree with Kathy in a lot of ways. We want the people to come, we want the input from them, but we don't really give them a chance to give it sometimes. So I do agree with her. There needs to be a happy medium between all of it. We have to be more open, more listening, more understanding that when they're asking a question, they're asking it because they don't understand or they don't know that information. And if they don't know, where are they supposed to go to find out? That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
That's
to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I want to comment too. I think I've noticed in the last several meetings the agenda has been much more concise. Everything seems, you know, matter of fact, and meetings are much shorter than they used to be, so that maybe we could open up, you know, a 10-minute section just for that during our regular meeting night. And, you know, if everybody's in agreement with that, we'd have to, you know.
Like I said, it's really a style of the elected people. There is no book. I mean, in a sense, it's not a right or wrong. It's how there's nothing wrong with how you're doing it from a kind of technical standpoint, but you also can do it different, and a lot of cities do it different. I think what I probably generally see is it's more of you base it on the number of people in the room, how the meeting's going. It's not, you know, it seems like anymore everything always has to be just perfectly the same, but you know, a night like this, you've got three former elected officials sitting here that have all sat in your place and might have worked on some of the decisions that you're talking about. And a lot of cities would say, hey, what do you think, former mayor? What do you think, former councilman? Now, if we had 20 people here, then you don't do it. So it's more of the number of items, the topic, you know, how many people are here. And then you would find probably 3/4 of the complaints you're getting would just go away. If it carries on too long, then you have to, you know. So that's, you know, kind of how, but it really is a style. I mean, there are some elected officials or administrators who can't stand that, and they can't stand that interaction. It's got to be at the public comment time. And then others open up. I chair the Oregon State Green Board, and my style compared to the former chairman is totally different. I let them come up and talk. Now, it's a state agency. We've got 50 employees, $50 million a year budget, and you know, we travel all over Oregon. And so, you know, I'm in Newport, And there's somebody there that's driven from Roseburg, and you know, they want to raise their hand and talk, and there's three people in the room, and we have a 6-hour meeting, you probably can hear from them. But then there's other leaders, nope, you do it during the public comment time, and they, boy, if a person raises their hand, they shut them down. And actually, our staff likes it that way at the Marine Corps, because they're in more control. And I've had to tell them, that's not my style. And we are gonna listen to folks unless it becomes too long. There's too many, you know, it won't work on that agenda. It's case by case, meeting by meeting, topic driven. And that's what the mayor and the council should do. If, I mean, that's how, you know. And once in a while, someone will go a little long, and you have to kind of roll with things, and you know, you don't want someone jumping up on every issue.
I agree. Yeah.
That's
it just seems like if we do that, maybe we quit getting little comments like, what is the city, you know, why do they think they can control everything that goes on? So they would maybe feel like they had more opportunity.
I mean, I'd ask if you do acting mayor, I mean, it would be interesting. You got four people, three or yeah. Three of these people have sat where you are, and Audrey has sat at every meeting. What's your take now you've been on both sides?
Well, one thing that I like is when a person, whether it's the mayor or the manager, when a topic is introduced, and you're very good at this, giving a little background on it. You're still going to do some council deliberation, but give a little background. This is the topic. This is how we got to the point where we are today. Now we're discussing it further, and we're going to make a decision. That right there can eliminate a lot of what would be questions from the audience, because they don't know the background. And then you can come to every meeting and not know the background, because as we all know, there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes. That's just the nature of it. So I think that helps a lot.
When I came on the council, way back before we had a hotshot city manager or anything like that, we used to have public comment on almost every issue, and we limited it to 3 minutes. Isn't that right, Doug?
Yeah.
Pretty much?
Yeah. We, the 2 years I was on the council, we never in that entire time told someone in the audience they couldn't ask a question.
Right.
If somebody had a question under public comment, we let them ask that question. And quite frankly, we had a lot more people across the street than we have that have around here. There's really no reason why the council cannot incorporate in the agenda a comment slash and or question period. There's no reason why it can't be done. You can limit it to the number of people by having a sign-up sheet. You can limit it to whoever wants to speak. You can speak for 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 1 minute, whatever. There's no reason. And I've been shut off a number of times. There's no reason for that. We always have to go back to the old story that you people sitting up there, we're paying your wages. We put you there. So you should reflect what we, who put you there, want. And one of the things we want is to be able to raise our hand and say, I have a question at the appropriate time. See, nothing wrong with that whatsoever. And I think it ought to be done.
At the appropriate time.
Yeah.
Thank you. No, I did suggest that at one time, a sign-up sheet, and I don't know where it went. So.
Well, but they do. I mean, anyone could come up to the microphone mm-hmm. I mean, and say it. I think that what I get is they want to ask it about a topic while you're discussing the topic. If you haven't even introduced the topic yet, what good does it to get come up here a half hour before? Because you don't know anything about it to talk about.
But at the county level, you sign up no matter what. So you have that chance.
On that topic, you mean?
No, on any topic.
Right, but then they call you during that talk.
Right, yes.
Right. That's correct. You've got to have, they need to be able to make their comments when you're talking about the topic they're interested in.
Yes.
Or else it does you no good.
Right.
This city did that for a period of time, and it worked real well.
And that's what I suggested.
Yeah.
Right.
And, yeah, and you know, I don't even know if we have any of those over there. Do we have some? But when you end up with one or two or three people in the room,
What are your thoughts?
It seems to me that if there was just a short, like most of the time the comments at the end go like that, and because when it goes fast, there's not a lot of issues being talked about, but when there are issues being talked about, it takes a long time. And so when most people are here is when we're talking about big issues. Like when we were talking about the water, we had that big presentation, this was the fullest I'd ever seen the city council because people really cared about that. And so building in times to places that really need it is going to be important. But there's not going to be many comments on the, you know, accepting of a, you know, I don't know what you call it.
Contract.
A contract. There's not going to be many comments. And so if you're going to have a meeting where there's going to be opportunities for lots of questions that the city doesn't know about, then there needs to be times built in right afterwards. Because most of the time, I'm sure people won't have any questions, or it'll be a quick yes or no, or here's the address of that place. But the occasion when they really do need it, there needs to be time, but there also has to be a time limit.
And I agree with the comments / questions or whatever. It needs to be both, not just only comments, because me, sometimes comments are just, you know, you agree or you don't agree, but questions can help clarify. And I think that's what's important for me. When I say something, I expect Rick to help me think through it, and that's what I look for. So
what we can do is talk to the mayor about it, if you want, if you guys would like that, and try a softer, more inclusive approach for a couple meetings and see how it goes. We just all learn together. How's that? You know, and if it starts to say, then we'll say, hey, you know, let's back off of that a little bit. I mean, do it as an educational thing. I think your point's well taken. I think everyone understands that there's enough agreement that there's, you know, ways we could improve on that. So let's
work on it.
Yeah. You know, if it becomes where we fill the place back up because of the controversy, you might not want to hear from them anyway.
But that's where we can adjust.
Yeah.
But tonight has been pretty casual.
Yeah. Well, we had a lighter agenda.
Mm-hmm. And I think it would be wonderful to have this place filled out. But then, yes, they do need, you know, if possible, to sign something. So, you know, if it got that busy.
Well, and then it's orderly. Yeah. You know, you don't have people trying to talk over each other. You call by name.
Yeah.
And then they have, that's their time.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
If you really have people here and you're going to have a time, then you need that sheet for sure. Mm-hmm. They should come up, state your name for the record so it's on the tape, their address and all that.
Right. And then the other option is, you know, if they're asking you on the street, have them call City Hall. Mm-hmm. You know, Rick's got plenty of time. They'll sell them the cemetery plot.
Good points. Good things, Kathy.
Yeah.
I had a little bit of a question on the new sidewalks that were going to be made when we did this streetlight. That lots of traffic through there. Some of these students coming back from eating. And I think it should be necessary to have trash cans along the road because when we drive by there, we notice that the trash, you see lots of McDonald's trash.
Yes.
Because students, I don't know what their issue is, but they don't like to carry it back to school. So they just eat their burger and throw it. And since it's all going to be brand new, if we make it stay nice without a bunch of litter, it'll be more pleasant for longer. So that was my quick little comment on the sidewalks.
What you mentioned or something for the Ford Institute, like with the bubbler?
Oh, yeah.
Fountain down there. Maybe we could make a rock foundation or something and then put the containers inside that would make it look nicer, but they would.
Well, what you're saying is actually that's a very good point because I had not even thought about the garbage cans. But like architects would have got there eventually, but that's actually a very good idea.
Yes, it is.
And when you do streetscapes, you usually do have some. It's like lights, but actually, in the case of a garbage can, there's more to it than meets the eye. So yes, we should have them. And there's some designs and styles that work, and there's a whole lot that don't.
Paint them orange.
You need something that they can't vandalize. You need them to where, you go into your students used to this. If you have them to where they can just put sacks in there when they're coming back from the lake, if we stuck one right out here, they will just simply pull over and they will fill it full of garbage from their camping trip.
Well, we'd have a couch in it.
Yeah.
Yes.
But that's no different than any other city. And other cities have garbage cans and they work through it. So, but what really comes out, you have a lid that only has a little hole in it. Yes. That you can put your McDonald's cups and sacks in it. You can have, actually, we could contract with Wilderness and have, sometimes on some of those, you actually get some roll carts that they kind of stick right off the sidewalk and then you put a chain to it or something, and then they actually will put instead of your flop back lid, you get a lid that's got a, basically that only lets you put less stuff in them. But there are ways to do that, and I think that actually from there to the high school, we probably should put in something or else you're going to get litter.
Yeah.
It goes back to what you were saying earlier. People have natural, they're not going to haul it.
Yeah, just it has to be convenient for them.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the kids don't have the willpower to hold it up.
Well, adults don't need to get up. It's high school. No, that's something we could definitely incorporate over there as part of streetscape furniture. You put a bench in, and you could have a garbage receptacle type thing and something that we just once a week run around. Well,
standardize it, make it beautiful, standardize it.
Good.
Yeah.
And I think Mandris eventually that they put them.
Yeah. We have big garbage cans all over. And they've tried, in my businesses that I have, we have garbage cans at all of them. And mine are on the same highway basically. Mm-hmm. It's just 40 miles that way. But yeah. And I guarantee which ones work well, which ones don't. Yes, I think we should do that. Yeah. And that's, you actually get a good receptacle, and you'll spend $500. Because the other thing, they have to be heavy enough, the wind won't blow them away. They can't pick them up and move them. It's all those things. And they can't vandalize them and spray paint them.
Yeah.
That's good.
So, but that everyone's went through this.
All right. So, name the first one, Conrad Parker.
There we go.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Cool. No, I'm happy camper, thank you.
All right.
I got some stuff out I've been wanting to do for a long time.
Anyone else?
I'm happy.
Good. Yeah.
Okay. So we don't have any special. We'll be back in 2 weeks.
I'm sorry?
We'll be back in 2 weeks.
Okay.
Same channel. Unless we forgot something for the budget, we won't have anything else on the budget. But that's one reason I wanted to have a couple weeks in case there's some little resolution we need to pass or do something before the end of the year. We can quickly get that done. That's it.
Okay.
Motion that we adjourn.
Move second. All in favor?
Aye.
They're adjourned. Thank you all.
Thank you. Good job there, Mayor.
Now I need some yogurt.
I need to take a big crisis on
like it. No, it isn't. Just trying to get it.
If they get a surprise, they won't post.
Email like that.
We've seen a couple prices.